Our Father in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, the great, the almighty God. Thank you for first reaching out to us in your love, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your provisions for our every need. And thank you especially for the scriptures you have given to us, so that we may know you, know what is in your heart, know how we should live each day. And thank you for the Spirit of truth, who guides us into all the truth. And we pray that you will help us, that we may more and more know you and what you revealed in all clarity, accuracy, wholesome appreciation of what you desire to communicate to us, and also how you want us to be faithful witnesses to the truth. We commit this time into your hands, and we pray that you be pleased to be in our midst, and that you have the freedom to speak to us and to renew our minds, for all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 150th message. The subtopic for today, being accurate, wholesome, and objective, the second message. Being accurate, wholesome, and objective, the second message. Today's message is a continuation of the last message on being accurate, wholesome, and objective. In the last message I mentioned, learning to be accurate, wholesome, and objective is an integral part of the posture of God in truth. God himself is objective, accurate, and wholesome in his knowledge of everything, and also the way he responds to situations and people. One of the objectives in life for God's children is to become more and more like him. To be like God, and also to be faithful to him, and to have deep fellowship with him, we must learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. We must learn to be accurate and wholesome in our understanding and absorption of the truth, and also the manifestation of truth in our lives, that we may be men of truth and walk in truth. This is what we should be and how we should live. This is the appropriate response to God, to situations and people, and conduct that befits God's children in his kingdom. I will now go on to share some thoughts on learning to be accurate and wholesome in our understanding of and response to people, issues, and situations. Understanding as well as response, the two are related. In order to respond well, we need first to understand accurately and in a wholesome manner. I'll begin with having accurate and wholesome understanding of a person. To have an accurate and wholesome understanding of a person, we must learn to look beyond the outward expressions and seek to understand the meaning in his heart. In the first message on appearance and reality, I refer to two key passages in the scriptures that are relevant for our present consideration. The first passage is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. These are two important phrases, or rather two important verses, that we should pay attention to, and the principles there to guide us in our daily lives as we interact with people, as we seek to understand people and to respond to them. 1 Samuel chapter 16, the context here, God was disappointed with King Saul, and he told Samuel that he had rejected Saul from continuing to be king over Israel, and he has selected a king for himself among the sons of Jesse, verse 1. And then in verse 3, he told Samuel to anoint for him the one whom he had designated. So Samuel went to Jesse and Jesse's children appeared before Simon. Verse 6 tells us when they entered, he, that is Samuel, looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Choosing the right king for Israel, very important. And God is concerned about the quality of the man that he is about to choose to designate as the king of Israel. We know Samuel is a godly person, a person of spiritual stature. And yet, Samuel failed in this area. Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But how did he come to this conclusion? The words of the Lord tells us that Samuel was too over-impressed with the outward appearance of Eliab. The words of the Lord. Verse 7 begins with, but, that is, in contrast. It is not to be this way. Samuel thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. We need to pay careful attention to the words of the Lord to Samuel. Do not. It is a tendency for men to respond in this way. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. There's a tendency for men to look at the outward appearance, to judge, to come to a conclusion on the basis of outward appearance. This can be in relation to men, it can be in relation to situations, various issues of life. That's why Paul says, do not walk by faith, or do not walk by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. And the sight there refers not just to what you see with your physical eyes, but also what appears to be. To walk by faith is to be able to look beyond what appears to be, the outward appearance of things. And as Christians, to know that what counts are the realities in the spiritual realm, and in relation to man, the moral dimension. The person's character, what is in his heart, and his true motives, what motivates him when we seek to understand him and his conduct. So the Lord told Samuel, do not look at his appearance. And then he goes on to say, God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God looks at a person's heart. That's what God is concerned about. What is in our heart? That relates to two major aspects. One is, you can say, the total reality in terms of the quality of the person, the moral spiritual stature that he has attained to, his heart, the realities in his heart. The other also has to do with when God looks at us in terms of the meaning of our conduct at any moment of time. It's what motivates us. What is in your heart when you do something? So God always looks at our heart. And we must also learn to do likewise. You know, seeking to appreciate the person, understand a person, his character, the quality of the person, how we appreciate a person. Likewise, when we seek to understand a person's action, conduct, we also seek to understand what is the meaning in his heart, what motivates him. What God looks at, the heart of man. We must learn to do likewise. Do not. Move in the direction of the common tendency of man to come to a conclusion on the basis of what appears to be outward appearance of things. Let us pay heed to the words also of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24. Another key verse on this subject. The Lord Jesus again warns us, do not. Just as the Lord told Samuel, do not, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24 says, do not. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Again, here the tendency for men to judge according to our appearance, and that is not good, that is not right, but we need to come to a righteous judgment that is correct, accurate, wholesome. If you look at the context of John chapter 7, verse 24, in verse 15, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the Jews were astonished, and they were saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" This was one of several remarks they made about Lord Jesus. The other is, he's a carpenter's son. So they were not very impressed by the upbringing of the Lord Jesus, his context as a carpenter, and that he had not undergone the formal training that the Pharisees, the scribes, underwent. So they regarded him as someone not learned, never having been educated. But the more immediate context here in verse, for the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 24, is verse 23. The Lord Jesus said, "If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath?" That is the Lord Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And the Jews were angry with him. The principle here that we want to concentrate on, that's relevant to us for our subject matter for today's message, we see the words of the Lord Jesus were directed at the Jews who had failed to respond appropriately to him and his ministry. At the heart of it, it has to do with this: the response to him and his ministry, because they were too taken up with the outward appearance of things, and they were not accurate and wholesome, not in the way they appreciated him, but also the way they responded to him, as well as his ministry. They failed to judge with righteous judgment, both regards to the person, the Lord Jesus, as well as his ministry. It is important we exercise care that we may not fail in this area. It is an important and lively issue all the time. That is, how we understand people and respond to people, as well as to issues and situations. The principle of the need to judge with righteous judgment applies to our appreciation of people, their conduct, as well as the various issues and situations that we go through. And so this is a lively issue at all times. But we need to ponder further what we need to pay attention to if we are to learn to judge with righteous judgment. The Lord Jesus says we must judge with righteous judgment, and to do that, one important aspect is to learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. So, in regards to a person, to learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective in the way we understand and appreciate the person. And an important area for us to bear in mind, if we want to judge with righteous judgment and to respond in a wholesome manner, accurate understanding of a person, is to bear in mind that the total person consists of many aspects. Various aspects of his life, as well as various aspects in his heart, as well as in his development. So, for example, a person may manifest some deficiencies in certain areas. We must not too quickly conclude our understanding of that person just based on those deficiencies, if in the first place we have correctly assessed that those were deficiencies. So that's the first part. We must be accurate. Are they really deficiencies, and how serious? And even if you're accurate in that, to then bear in mind that the total person consists of many aspects, not just those deficiencies that we have observed. He may have deficiencies in some areas, but he may be faring well in other areas. So we need to be careful not to be so affected by a particular incident or occurrence or an aspect of a person's life, so that our whole perception of the person and the way we view him and respond to him is shaped by that incident or that aspect or a few aspects of his life. And this applies whether it be positive or negative. It can include some of the habits that he has, or some of the conduct, aspects of conduct that we observe, include aspects of his conduct that may irritate us, or aspects of his life or conduct that may deeply impress us. And sometimes it can even be things that may not be really that substantial, the way he talks, or the way he carries himself. But the way he talks can include, or rather is another aspect that's more relevant, would be the things that he says. If we properly, correctly understand him in the first place, and sometimes something that the person has done, it can affect us significantly. But we need to take care that the total person, there are various aspects to the person. What is in his heart, his conduct, his life, as well as even our appreciation of the person's development. Some areas he may have paid attention, he may be developing well, but there may be many other areas that he has neglected and not going on well. So if we do not bear in mind and be slow to conclude and try to appreciate the total person, then it may distort the way God wants us to relate with a person. And this is not uncommon. So this is one area we need to bear in mind. And understanding people, relating with people, is a very important aspect of our lives. As God's children, we must develop this area in a healthy way. Likewise, with regards to issues and situations, to have an accurate and wholesome understanding of an issue or situation, and to know how to respond appropriately, we must exercise care not to look at it only from a certain angle, or very limited angle, or just some issues. We must learn to look at the issue and situation from different angles. Take into consideration all relevant factors. And not only that, to give proper weight to the various factors. Some areas, some aspects are more significant. We need to give more weight to it. If we fail to do that, then even if our attitudes are positive, generally, we may still respond inappropriately. So we need to exercise care, not to be so taken up with or over-impressed with a certain angle of looking at an issue or a situation or a particular factor, so that we are hindered from properly taking into consideration other relevant factors and looking at it from other angles. And if you're more conscious of this for yourself, you'll notice that it happens from time to time. You can also observe it in the lives of others. How we comment on a situation, how we appreciate a situation. Very often, people are very taken up from a certain angle, and they may fail to take into consideration other angles of looking at the issue, which can be very important and significant if they are to appreciate the issue or the situation in a wholesome manner and to respond appropriately. I'll just give some examples. These are not the best examples, but just to illustrate beyond the concepts that are being shared. Many of us are concerned for our children, and rightly so. So an example regards to bring up children, concern for children. We maybe have concern for our child's safety, and that's correct, as well as his exposure to negative influence, that's also correct. But sometimes we may be so impressed with this area and just concentrate on this angle that the child may then be restrained from participating in various activities from which he can learn helpful things. We do not sufficiently take into consideration all the different angles and how much weight to give there are different factors before we arrive at a conclusion of what we will allow the child to participate in. But it can work the other way around. We may be so concerned about what the child can learn and various situations he can be exposed to. He can learn something. So we encourage him to participate. But we fail to take into consideration his safety and the adverse influences that he may come under. But these are just two major aspects. There are many other factors. And certain decisions we want to make in certain in different contexts, different factors may be more significant. But we must try to bear in mind, look at the issue from various angles. And ultimately, of course, to do all this in fellowship with God, to seek to understand how God looks at the situation, at the issue. But how we understand God's will is important. We learned to look at issues from different angles because that is how God wants us to go through life so that we can learn and grow in maturity in the process. Understanding God's will is not just praying, waiting, and then God tells you, do this or do that. He wants us to think through issues, to learn, to come to a wholesome appreciation of issues, of people, and to learn to respond with wisdom, even as we look to Him, to understand, to assess, and to know what is the wise course of action. Or when you consider a job or career to embark upon, some may be very impressed from a certain angle when they look at a job. Oh, this job is very challenging. And that grips him and he goes and he takes on that job. Or others may look at a job and say, oh, this job has wonderful prospects. But actually the prospects there, they are very influenced by the world's consideration of good prospects. But good prospects that the world looks at in terms of pay and so on, these are not irrelevant to a believer, but we have to look at it from the angle of the perspective of God's kingdom and look at the various factors, not just from one angle. Or we look at a job and as far as you understand, it looks very interesting. And then that's all that preoccupies the person's mind. Very interesting, so I want this job. And you do not properly consider other factors. Or just that, I like it. But have we probably considered, what do you mean by you like it? So look at it, look at the issue, concern from various angles, what weight to give to the different factors, and most of all, the perspective must be from the perspective of God's kingdom, the values that we have as God's children, and doing all this, looking to the Lord to guide us, to grant us wisdom in coming to a wholesome conclusion. Accurate understanding, wholesome understanding, and then the right decision. Or the area of marriage. Should we get married? Who to get married to? Well, many of us may not even be thinking about this. We think this is, we're past the time to look at this issue. But it is a lively issue. Many, from time to time, do think about this area, young or old. And it's not wrong to pray about this matter, rather than to leave it alone, neglect it, and one day, we panic. Well, I don't think I need to elaborate on this issue. There are some who think that if you're really spiritual, you'll try to be single. Not so spiritual, can't take it, then you get married. On the other hand, there are those who think marriage is wonderful. We must all try to get married. If you can't get married, it's because something is wrong somewhere, you can't even find a marriage partner. But it's not like this. I will not go into the whole subject now, but that the scriptural teaching is clear. There's a place for marriage. There's also a place for those who are single. And both can live lives meaningfully before the Lord. But the important thing is, what is God's will for your life? Now, that is not difficult for believers to understand. But then the issue is, what is God's will That actually is very important. So first, is it God's will for you to get married? Then after that, who? If it is the Lord's will. That's it. I hope I will not take too long on this. Just some brief remarks, and then I want to move on. So one aspect of consideration of getting married, sometimes we may feel lonely, then we may become preoccupied with the advantages of married life and the difficulties of remaining single. So if you're over-impressed with this, you can come to a wrong conclusion and move in a way that can be damaging to your life, not helpful for you. On the other hand, you may have observed certain difficulties that people go through, or not just difficulties, intense difficulties that people go through, and then you're so frightened about the area of marriage. And you put it aside. You don't want to think about it. But time comes when you're much older, then you may feel that you made a mistake, but you cannot undo it. That's also not helpful. But the other has to do with even you want to consider getting married, a suitable, this God's will for you. So is it just pray, and then God tells you this is the person, or you look at a person and you're so impressed by a certain aspect of the person, either life, the person's character, conduct, whatever, and then you conclude this is God's will, God is speaking to me. How do you come to a conclusion that it is God's will for you? As I said, I cannot go into detail now. It's an interesting subject, but I also have a lot of concern that brethren who make a mistake in this area, it can at times be very serious. For many years, it can have significant implications. So in this area, bear in mind, it is a major issue. We need to take time to be clear about the issue and also about a person. To know a person well, to know whether the person is suitable for marriage, it's not an easy thing. Immediate impressions, first impressions, or even after a while, you may be deeply impressed about certain aspects. Be careful to understand a person well. Especially in a major issue like marriage. We need to take time, pray over, consider carefully, get to know the person well, counsel, fellowship with those whom you think it is suitable to talk to help you to be clearer. The messages in the series Appearance and Reality can help us to have an accurate understanding of people, situations we go through, the issues that confront us, and the appropriate response. Under this heading, I've covered many messages. Not all of them are directly addressing these issues, but many of them can help us to appreciate these issues, including an area that many of us are concerned about. Effective service and contribution to God's kingdom. Many of us are of the view that this is an important issue to us, and we can even be very emotional about it, feel strongly about it. But it's important to try to have an accurate, wholesome understanding of the subject. I have, in various contexts, in different ways, also try to address this issue, but there are a number of messages that covers this subject in the series Appearance and Reality. If you are really interested in this subject, you want to understand it, you can also refer to it. But there are many subjects that are covered under that series. I now want to go on to consider with you accurate and wholesome in our communication to others. Now, in relation to communication to others, that we must also learn to exercise care and pay attention to being accurate and wholesome in our communication to others about people, about issues, about situations. Sometimes people may think, well, in order not to falter, I better keep quiet. But actually, keeping quiet is not necessarily the best thing. Far from it. God has given us a mouth, not just meant for eating, but also meant to help us to communicate. And the Lord Jesus is known as the Word of God. At the heart of it is communication. God wants to communicate to us. He also wants us to communicate. And being God's ambassadors, representatives of God, the salt, the light of the earth, witnesses to the truth, a major aspect is communication. Not just through words, audio, vocal, we voice it out, but also in other ways. Communication, extremely important if we want to be faithful to the Lord. Let us first look at the negative the Lord Jesus warns us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. In this area of communication, the Lord Jesus tells us, He warns us, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. Every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. These are words that is important that we really pay heed to. We have to give an account in the day of judgment. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't speak. The Lord Jesus is talking about careless word. It flows forth from our heart's attitude that is not right, not good. It shouldn't be like that. We look at the context, beginning from verse 22. You read that context, you'll see there was a demon-possessed man, blind and mute, and the Lord Jesus healed him, and he spoke and saw. But the Pharisees, they say, this man casts out demons by Beelzebul. So these are very serious negative remarks, attributing the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus to the power of the evil one. It was in this context that the Lord Jesus went on to talk about those who are against him, those who are for him, and also the words that we speak that flows forth from what is within our hearts. So the first place actually is not just the words that we speak and what we communicate, but the meaning, the realities in our heart. If you want to speak well, to communicate well, you must nurture the realities, the positive qualities of the heart, which includes wholesome, accurate understanding of the truth of God and positive direction of our lives. Well, we'll now look at the positive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. And I deliberately choose this verse because this is in the context of outworking in church life, healthy church life. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, or being truthful in love. It goes beyond just speaking, but communication and the whole way we conduct ourselves and truth being manifested through our lives. Speaking the truth in love, or being truthful in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth, manifestation of truth in love. So sometimes we may think, oh, so long as it's accurate and wholesome in the appreciation of truth, I speak the truth, it's okay. I'm justified in what I say because it's the truth. Well, very important, accurate, wholesome in our communication of the truth, but bear in mind, it doesn't mean if you speak the truth, words of truth, that is accurate. It actually happened. Then that's all. It absolves you of all responsibility already. You're okay. Not so. It doesn't mean that whatever you know, you must speak. You still need wisdom. And is it motivated by love? Does it build up? There are some things that we know we shouldn't say because it is harmful. It damages people's lives. It's not the right time to say those things. Or at times, you should never tell that person those things. It's being truthful or speaking the truth in love. And it's in the context, Paul says, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So this is the context of the life of the body. We need to communicate. Yes, truth. In love, you cannot speak what is not true. Falsehood. But truth, it must also be in the context of love. And this is an important aspect of the body being built up. You can also look at verse 29 in the same direction. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. There's a negative aspect of it. Unwholesome word. Not even a single unwholesome word should proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that you will give grace to those who hear. This elaborates on what I was saying just now. Not just the words are accurate, it is truth, but it must also be good for edification. It builds up according to the need of the moment. It's appropriate, helpful. It gives grace to those who hear. But I have in other contexts explained more fully that it doesn't mean that we always say things that people like to hear. The Lord Jesus, from time to time, did say things that people do not like to hear. Not just to the Pharisees, when He pronounced woes on them, definitely they didn't like to hear. But even His disciples, He rebuked them. And not just the Lord Jesus. You may say, oh, there's the Lord Jesus, He can speak, right? But not for us. We should always say things that people like to hear. No. The Apostle Paul also rebuked the Corinthians. He rebuked the Galatians. But out of love for them, it was needful, it was important. But in such context, we have to exercise great care. Is that what the Lord wants us to say? Appropriate? In the right spirit, we know what we are doing. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So speaking the truth in love, being truthful in love, words that edify, is an important aspect of being faithful to God and working out together in church life. And I want to make some observations and comments on practical outworking. The first point I want to make is that regards to communication, being wholesome, being accurate, some of us may feel a little uneasy, difficult about it, because some of us have greater difficulty expressing ourselves regards to precision with words. We have difficulty with that. So we may feel difficult and may feel we are at a great disadvantage. You need not be unduly perturbed. You may have difficulty expressing yourself in words to be precise and so on. You need not be unduly perturbed. But that doesn't mean it is not helpful for you to learn to be accurate, even in your words. Do what you can. That's what God expects of you. It is important, it's helpful to improve in this area, to learn to be precise, yes. And helpful to improve in this area. But this is not the most important issue. So I go on to the next point, which is what is more important. What is more important is first the accurate and wholesome understanding for ourselves first. This is what you express to others. This is more important. Accurate, wholesome understanding of God, of the truth, what He has revealed in the scriptures, and then also the appropriate response in our heart. This is primary. Related to that is the accurate understanding and perception of people, of issues, of situations, and then having the wisdom to know what is the appropriate response. And this is something, this aspect that I'm now emphasizing upon, all of us must develop this. There's no excuse for any one of us to neglect these aspects. So this is more critical. How well you're able, the choice of words and so on, you try to improve. But the first part is your own appreciation of God, the truth, your understanding, your perception, and then learning to be wise in what you want to communicate and what comes off from your heart and your spirit. The recognition that this is important, to be accurate, wholesome, in what we appreciate, understand, and then to communicate in a wholesome, accurate manner, and what is appropriate, what edifies, what builds up. We must recognize this is important, and then we look to God to help us, and we exercise due care. You'll notice I often use this expression, due care. For those who have studied law, they'll be very familiar with this expression. Due care. That's because what is reasonable in that context is very important. It doesn't mean we exercise utmost care in every issue, in every instance. That is not appropriate. That's not helpful. It takes a lot of time, energy, effort, and it can be very unreasonable to expect people to do that. It's not appropriate. So due care is what is suitable in that context. How much care, how much attention you pay to what issue has to do with how important, how significant. So you exercise sufficient care. What is appropriate in that situation? We must learn that. The next point is a major point that I'll spend a little while to talk about it. And that is to bear in mind that there are some areas, issues, and situations we need to pay more attention and exercise greater care. This is an elaboration of what I was trying to say about exercising due care. To bear in mind that not all issues, not all situations are the same. So some issues are more sensitive, more difficult to handle well. We may need to exercise more care. Some issues are more complex, more difficult to understand accurately and wholesomely, and they are more important. So the more important they are, and the more complex, the more difficult to understand accurately and wholesomely, then the more we must exercise care. And there are some issues where the implications are more serious, more significant. Now in all this, when I talk about more significant, more important, I'm talking about from the perspective of God's kingdom. How God wants us to pay attention to issues. We must always do all things in fellowship with God. And for different ones, in our different contexts, it may differ. The wife, the mother, there may be certain areas that she needs to pay more attention to than the husband and the father. But the father, the husband, there may be other areas that he may have to pay more attention to. But in general, for Christians, as I go on, you become clearer, you ponder about it, you realize many of these areas, you will know how to sort it out if you are more aware of what to pay attention to. So for example, understanding of the scriptures, especially more important areas of truth with significant implications, areas, issues, passages which are more difficult. The scriptures, when we understand it, is meant to be lived out, so we need to exercise care, especially the more important areas. And likewise, in regards to how we communicate the truth in the scriptures to others. So when we say this is what the scriptures teach us, or what we understand the scriptures teach us, if we put it across quite strongly, then we better pay great attention where the issues are important, significant, complex, not so easy to understand. Are we justified in saying those things? Do we have sufficient grounds? Or we are saying it carelessly? Or we just want to our view to be adopted, so we press the thing very strongly? That's not the way. Because we want to be faithful to God, we want to understand the truth accurately for ourselves as well as to build up others, then wholesome, accurate understanding of the truth is important. And if it's not so clear, and yet we are careless about it, and we just speak very strongly, yes, this is part of what I was mentioned just now, we have to give an account to God for every careless word that we speak. Another aspect, area that we need to pay attention to exercise greater care, is when we communicate with others about issues that can affect their lives. We need to be careful. Are we wholesome? Are we accurate? Are we prayerful about it? Are they the things that God wants us to communicate to others? In these areas, it's so often we see believers failing. Let us pay heed. Exercise care that we do not. We are not careless about these things. Another area to exercise care: making comments about others. especially adverse comments. Well, I'll say even positive comments. We say so-and-so is this and that, even positive, but it's not accurate, it's not wholesome. And we make very positive comments, either sometimes flattering comments, exalt a person. It is not good. We also have to gain account of the Lord. But especially when we make adverse comments about people, we have to exercise great care. Are we accurate? Are we wholesome? Or are we slandering others? Adverse comments about others, it doesn't necessarily mean that we cannot say anything negative about others. At times, it is needful. But we need to exercise care. Are we accurate, wholesome, objective? After soon, I will talk about this area of being objective and why it is one of the word terms that I mentioned in this subject. Accurate, wholesome, and objective. But just before that, another point I want to mention is another area to be careful about is when we talk about things that can affect the Lord's work. That again doesn't mean we abstain. We are concerned about the Lord. We are concerned about the Lord's work. So there's a place we want to talk about these things. But we need to exercise care, especially if we see things that will negatively affect the Lord's work. Definitely, this is an area that we will have to give an account to the Lord if it affects the Lord's work negatively. Areas and issues, we tend not to be so objective and accurate. We need to exercise greater care. Why do I say areas and issues, we tend not to be so objective and accurate? There are some aspects you can bear in mind that can belong to this area. Why we tend not to be so objective and accurate? For example, because we are personally involved. There's a tendency, when we are personally involved, tendency not to be so objective and accurate. Or areas and issues, we tend to be biased and prejudiced. And different ones of us do have these areas, either about issues or about people, certain people. Or areas and issues, we are emotionally affected. Or areas and issues we are sensitive about. Different ones of us do have such areas. Do not too quickly say that we are not affected in these ways. Or others, yes, yes, I do observe. This is true. I often do see this in others. But sometimes we are not very conscious. We are affected in these areas and we are not aware. So the first important point in regards to this area is important to recognize these areas. Look to the Lord. Be open that the Lord can help us to recognize that there are areas where we may be biased, prejudiced, we are emotionally affected, we are sensitive, or areas where we are personally involved, to exercise great care that we maintain objectivity. We exercise more care to be objective and not to be subjective. So where these issues may come in, then we must deliberately seek to overcome the tendency to fail in these areas. Because there's a tendency then not to be so accurate, to be so wholesome. So we look to the Lord to help us make special effort to overcome. And if you're more conscious of this, it may become easier to recognize. Certain people, we know, there's a tendency for us to be biased, prejudiced, whatever what they say, their conduct. But having said this, it doesn't mean that how we view everybody is the same. Well, there's certain people, we have come to know them to a certain degree, we do bear in mind there's a place for that. But we need to exercise care. Bias, prejudice means a tendency to infer or to understand a person or the conduct or situation in a way that is not wholesome, that is not accurate, that deviates from the objective reality. Tendency. If we are prayerful, we look to the Lord, we are more conscious to recognize these areas and seek to overcome them, the Lord will help us as we look to Him. But it is important we truly open so that we can hear what the Lord is speaking to us. And all of us need to learn this. Failure would mean hindrance to our growth, detrimental to our lives and our service to the Lord, as well as adverse impact on the lives of others. And also recognize it is possible to be relatively more open in some areas and yet hard of hearing in others. So we may very quickly conclude that we are very open. And we may even be right. Because in certain areas, or even most areas, we are quite open. But it's possible there are some areas that we are not so opened. And the Lord may be speaking to us, but we can't hear. We need to pray over these things and be alert to it. And not too quickly conclude that in all areas we are open and this is not a problem to us. We are fallible. We do falter in various of these areas. And it will. If we fail and we do not correct it, it will be a hindrance to our lives, our growth, our relationship with God, our service. The next point is, what is not so clear, be careful to state it as clear. This is the next point. That means not the same as just some areas we need to exercise greater care. Although all these various areas are related, the last major area I want to consider with you is, what is not so clear, be careful to state it as clear. In particular, the interpretation of the scriptures. I mentioned briefly just now, from time to time, I have drawn attention to this, is because the scriptures is very, very important. What the scriptures teach us, we want to absorb, we want to live out. So for ourselves, as well as when we communicate to others. So in particular, regards to the communication of scriptures, when it's not so clear, exercise care not to state it as clear. It's irresponsible. It is not right. Or saying things like, God spoke to me, God guided me. When it's not clear, especially specific things, God guided me to do this thing. Or God guided me to say this to you. But general sense of God's guidance, and we're walking with the Lord, we appreciate, we talk about it, that is different. There's a place for that. And it's right. Because God loves us, He watches over our lives, He guides us. So for example, we express that we are deeply appreciative. God watching over my life, He watches over me, He guides me. That's correct. But when specific things, God spoke to me, God guided me, this, that, and so on, exercise care. Unless it's very clear, don't make it a categorical statement. Otherwise, you may be misrepresenting God or using God's name in vain, saying God has said this when in fact He has not. Or saying something about a person or a situation, when we make a statement, we must have sufficient, proper grounds to do so. Now, the examples I give are not the best examples, but just to illustrate a point. But it's important we pay heed to this principle. So, for example, we say, He is the one who did it. We can say the name so-and-so. He did it. Now, that is not proper. If we only have suspicions He did it, or we think He did it, then we cannot say He did it. Is it a fact? Do you really have sufficient grounds to say that He did it? Especially if you're going to say what He did is something wrong. And it's a minor thing, not so serious. But still, we want to be accurate. Not clear, don't just say He did it. Or, He tells lies all the time. Reason, because there are several occasions we think He has lied. In the first place, we have not even established it. Has He really lied on those various occasions? But even if it is established, He has lied on several occasions. That still doesn't justify to say He tells lies all the time. Now, this goes on to an aspect that I want to emphasize. which is a very common area of failure, and that is avoid making inappropriate sweeping statements without qualifications when qualifications are necessary. And this is an area we often fail, Christians and non-Christians. For example, always say things that make a person happy. It sounds good, it sounds right, it sounds positive. Say things that make a person happy. But is it correct to say, always say things that make a person happy? No, if you examine carefully, then we know it is actually not right. So what's wrong here is this first word, always. So be a bit careful to use always, unless it is really always. But to say things that make a person happy can often be helpful, but not necessarily. Is it really appropriate? At times, we need to say things to make a person unhappy. Not that we want to make him happy, full stop. But we know what we say will result in the person being unhappy, but it's important for the person to hear it. Or the statement, never say things that make a person miserable, upset, or angry. Okay, it sounds right. Never say things that make a person miserable, upset, or angry. So it sounds like say things, make a person angry, make a person miserable, make a person upset. It's no good. So never say things that make a person miserable, upset, or angry. I see the problem there lies with the never. Is it so? No, there are sometimes we need to say things. The person, after hearing it, may feel miserable, may feel upset, may feel angry, but you need to say it. And the Lord wants you to say it. To be faithful to God, you may need to say it. Well, related to this, because we can also say that need to be careful not to go around saying things that make people feel miserable, upset, and angry, because that is important. So don't draw the other conclusion. Well, another related remark is, when we love a person, we will overlook and not point out his faults and failures. When you love a person, we will overlook and not point out his faults and failures. Some people have this kind of thinking. And again, it may sound right, but if we examine it, we know it is not right. If you love the person, you will overlook, you will not point out his faults and failures. No, at times it may be needful. But, on the other hand, there are others who may justify what they do with this attitude. When we love a person, we will point out his faults and failures. Now that again may sound right. If you love a person, you will point out his faults and failures. Yes, there's a place for that. And it can be appropriate. But it also does not mean that when you love a person, you will always point out his faults and failures. Because you want to build up. Is it appropriate? Is it wise for you to say that? Are you the correct person to say it? And so on and so on. So it is not necessarily always is for you to go and point out to the person his fault and his failure, but there may be a place for you to do that. Then there can be popular expressions. Be careful, not just simply because they're popular, you just take it and then voice it yourself. Adopt it in the way you speak to people or you communicate in writing, whatever. Well, you can list out many. I'll just give you one. Popular expression. I suppose many of you may have heard of this expression. Love means never having to say you are sorry. If I'm not mistaken, I think this was the title of a film show. Love means never having to say you are sorry. It's a popular expression. But sometimes you may just adopt this and say it. And we may not even quite understand what is the meaning of that expression. Do you understand what this means? Love means never having to say you are sorry. So love means never having to say you are sorry means you love the person, then you don't have to say sorry. Or the person loves you, so you don't have to say sorry. Have you thought about it? What is it? Or two persons who are in love, they don't have to say sorry to each other. So what is it? I think in the film show, love means never having to say sorry. It's the film show is about two who are in love. But this expression, sometimes people may just say like that, but they may not even quite understand what the expression means. But whatever it is it true? Any permutation you may take, that if there is love, then you never, means never having to say you're sorry. Is it so? Or there are occasions where it is good, it's helpful to say you're sorry. Another concept very often people's minds or expectation. When we love a person, we will support what he is doing. And sometimes people have this expectation. They expect you to support him or her. And if you love me, you will support me. Is it so? As Christian? For that matter, even someone you love deeply, even your spouse. When you love a person, you will support what the person is doing. What a person is doing may be wrong, may be displeasing to God. Then you cannot support that. But there's one thing that's very important to grasp it clearly, that we can be supportive, and that is helpful. We should always be supportive of people in the direction of God's call. And whatever the person seeks, to learn, to grow, to serve, movement in that direction, we must always support that, whoever the person is. And some, the Lord may want us to give stronger support. Always support that. Support a person in the direction of God's call. But not support the person, whatever he is doing, support. Once you examine it, it becomes very clear that that cannot be meaningful, cannot be proper. But the direction, in the direction of God's call, we must care for another, pray for another, do what we can to support, to help one another in the direction of God's call. That is what we must be committed to all the time. Some concluding remarks. Concluding doesn't mean just a little bit, their number. I'll begin by saying that what we are considering, this subject, is an approach to life that is important and its implications for the key areas of our walk with God, of the Christian faith, of the Christian life. Its implications for our personal development. Its implications for the quality of our relationship with God, the quality of our relationship with the brethren, our understanding of people and situations, our response to people and situations, faithfulness to God, being a trustworthy person, a reliable person, a reliable witness to the truth, the way we fulfill our part in our working of God's purposes. Ponder about it. Being accurate, wholesome, objective has implications in all these areas, and not just in a minor way. The next point is to make good progress in learning to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. It's important to be properly motivated and know how to go about it, including understanding the issues involved and then to pay due attention. As I mentioned at the beginning of the first message, this last message on this issue, is that in my observation, generally, many do not pay sufficient attention. And one reason, I think, is because we are not so conscious of its significance. Then the other is to have a clearer understanding of the issues involved and why and how we falter and how to overcome. We do not give much thought to it. We are not so conscious of it. So if we are more conscious of its significance, then we can be properly motivated and then to understand the issues involved. And after we've understood everything, finally, very important, pay due attention to this area. It's no point understanding everything and then put it on the shelf. File it somewhere in your brain. let it become a part of your life, the whole your whole approach, so that more and more it becomes a part of you, it becomes spontaneous. You're very careful, especially in major areas and so on, important areas and so on and so on that I've mentioned just now. Some of the areas we need to be more careful about. But in general, we want to be accurate, wholesome, objective, and we know why. And its importance. And we want to be a reliable people. When we say something, people can believe us. That we have exercised care. And we're not careless the way we say things. The next point. To understand and see things accurately, wholesomely, objectively, and respond appropriately, we must deal with negative subjectivity, overcome the intrusion of prejudice and bias, and being adversely swayed by emotions. We've seen just now, this can affect us. So we want to move in that direction, then we must learn to deal with these negative aspects, to be conscious of it, that it can affect us, and to seek to deal with it. And if we are more conscious, we can make progress. And the next related point is, as we seek to do all this, we must always look to God. We must look to God to help us to understand and see things objectively, accurately, and wholesomely. And then also to look to God to help us to know how to respond appropriately. First to understand, and then to respond appropriately. And to recognize only God is perfectly objective, accurate, and wholesome in knowledge, and the way he sees things, as well as his understanding of all people and situations. And also God knows what is the most appropriate and the wisest response to people and situations. And others can help us, yes, because they have also learned to be wise. But they can only help us to a degree they can help us to understand the will of God, how God sees things. But if they only help us to understand how they look at things, which is contrary to how God look at things, don't follow them. So important, yes, appreciate others, counsel and discussion with brethren who love the Lord, hear, understand what they have to say, but ultimately we must concentrate in trying to understand how God looks at the issue and how God wants us to respond in that context, because God is the one who is perfect in knowledge, accuracy, wholesome appreciation, and the God of wisdom. So God's guidance and enabling is crucial at all times. We must constantly look to Him to guide us, to enable us. This is how we ought to live our lives, in fellowship with God. And as we seek to do so, we will learn to see things the way God sees things and the way God wants us to respond. So I want to mention also, important to look to God for wisdom, to know how God wants us, the particular person, to respond to the situation. How God wants another person to respond may be different. So we cannot just follow what others are doing. Our particular context, including our stage of development and so on, what is appropriate for someone else may not be appropriate for you. And those of us who commend, who help others, who try to help others to see things and how to respond, you must bear in mind that. What is appropriate for that person in his situation, her situation? And a guiding principle, God wants us to speak the truth or to be truthful in love. That builds up. What is appropriate? What builds up? When we communicate, as well as how we absorb and build up our lives, absorb truth. So this leads me to the next related point, is the importance of our growing in our knowledge of God, the truth, nurturing the quality of our relationship with God, submission to Him, and commitment to live in truth. If we want to grow well, we want to become more objective, more accurate, more wholesome, to express in an understanding as well as communication, then it cannot be in isolation. The base, the foundation is very important. We must nurture our relationship with God, as well as our knowledge of God, knowledge of the truth, and faithful outworking in general. All these are critical, because all this will then help us to identify with the Lord, know the Lord, understand what is in His heart, and more we learn how to see things from God's perspective. If all these are not true, then in one particular instance, then we want to say, God, how do you look at this? How should I look at it? Difficult. But if our whole approach to life, that's why the posture of God in truth, if it is there, It all holds together. Then the various areas become more and more spontaneous. And that's how it should be. The posture of God and truth should become something like breathing. So much a part of your life. Just that, be careful. Breathing, we may not be very conscious, we still keep on breathing. But the posture, we must constantly maintain that consciousness of looking to God and to align our heart with God and with the truth. There's a consciousness, but it becomes so spontaneous, so much a part of our lives. It should become like that, more and more so. So we become more and more sensitive to what God is saying to us and more ready to do all things in true fellowship with God. There must be that kind of spirit and attitude. Then more and more we'll move in the direction of becoming increasingly accurate, wholesome and objective in the way we understand and respond to people, to issues, to situations. The next point. If we recognize the importance of being objective, accurate and wholesome, and we learn to pay due attention to this issue, we will make progress. So do not be disheartened thinking that you are not good in this area of accuracy, wholesomeness. Others may be able to, I can't. I have a lot of difficulty. You can be sure. If you recognize the importance, you pay due attention, you will make progress. And the issue is to seek to develop each one of us to our full potential in every aspect of our lives, not so much to compare with others. This is important. And each one of us is able to develop to our potential in the way that God desires of us. There's no excuse. So don't say, I'm not good in this area. You are to develop to the way that is feasible for you. Do not neglect this area. And paying due attention to this area is an integral part, it's an essential part of our response to God. And the development of our lives is an integral part of the posture of God in truth and its expression in practical outworking. If you say you're aligning your heart with this posture of the posture of God in truth, you have to pay attention to this area in practical outworking. And as we seek to make progress, one area that's helpful is to focus, fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Learn from the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. And as we read the scriptures, try to learn from Him. Because He is always accurate, wholesome and objective in His understanding and response to people, to situations, to issues. Of course, not everything He does is appropriate for us. We have to modify it to our context. But He is wholesome, He is accurate. And that helps us to understand, for example, it doesn't always say nice things. People here, they're very happy. We look at the life of Lord Jesus, we learn that. And so on and so on. There are many things that we can learn from what is recorded for us in the scriptures, in the life of the Lord Jesus. So it's helpful for us to bear in mind, learning to be accurate, wholesome and objective is related to the wholesome development of every aspect of our being. And this is a major issue regards to our time on earth. Every development of every aspect of moral and spiritual stature, the meaning and direction of our goal to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. That ought to be the goal for every believer. And if this is the goal, this is a deep concern of our hearts, then we must learn to be accurate, wholesome and objective. So finally, a reminder to us. There's the positive direction, very important, helpful, but also bear in mind the negative aspect. That if we fail to exercise due care in the accuracy of understanding the truth, people and issues, and also what we communicate, it will affect our credibility and reliability. It will affect the appropriateness of our response. It can result in making improper statements about others. It can result in negative, adverse impact, influence on the lives of others. It can result in others acting on false or inaccurate information or statements. It erodes our effectiveness as God's faithful representatives. It will fail to be a man of truth. Failure in manifestation of truth in our lives. There are varying degrees, but it can be very serious if the issues are serious and it becomes a general feature in our life. So bear in mind, all failures, deviations would contribute to deviations from the truth and would have adverse implications in our relationship with God, the quality of our lives, and our impact on others. We'll stop here for today. Let us, as we prepare our hearts to partake of Lord's Supper, seek to draw near to God, thank Him for all that He has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His kind intentions toward us in Him, and to also recognize that God wants us to become increasingly conformed to the image of His Son. God has made all provisions for us in that direction, and an essential aspect, area of truth we need to pay attention to if we want to develop well in that direction, is to learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective in the way we understand God, truth, absorb in our lives, and then the manifestation, the communication of truth in our lives. Let's spend some time to ponder over our lives, our walk before God. Are there areas of failure in our lives that we need to take stock of, correct? Are there positive areas we are seeking to work at, which we need to pay more attention to, more diligent? Let us reflect over our lives before God, that we have the freedom to speak to us. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for Your deep love toward us. Thank You for Your provisions for our lives, the Scriptures, the Spirit of God to guide us, teach us Your ways, and also to help us know how to respond well to You. We pray that You will continue to have freedom to speak to us and to help us in our daily lives. Thank You now for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. We pray that You will help us to put right our lives before You so that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So even now we ask You to wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, and help us to reaffirm our love for You, our commitment to You, to be true to You. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.